Well, please keep that passage open and let's pray. Trinity God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you because you are love. And in your love, you made us, and in your love, you love to communicate to us, to speak to us. So we pray that through this passage, as we look at it together, you will speak into our hearts the words of love you want us to hear. Amen. Well, as Andy mentioned, we have been in a series of 1 Corinthians, and the last couple of weeks we have been looking at one of these issues that the Corinthians had in their church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, I think is up there. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's the idea that we are all, if we are Christians, if we're trusting in Jesus, we have the Spirit, we have spiritual gifts, and they are given for the good of each other. And last week in the second half, we thought about being part of the body, and that we all belong to each other as we belong to Christ. So you are needed, you need others, and you are the body. And now we come to chapter 13, which is very much sort of the centerpiece of these 3 chapters, 12, 13, and 14. It speaks of the sense with which these gifts are to be used, the sense with which we are to be body together, the overriding principle of love. But before that, we need to clear out a few preconceptions, I guess, as to this passage. Many of us will know it. You may have had it preached at your wedding or seen it preached at many other kind of weddings and things like that. Let me take you back to the town of Corinth, when about this might have been. There's a young couple and they're planning a wedding together, wedding service, and they've got the colours and their dresses and all those things that somehow are important on that day. They come to choosing the passage. The very last passage they will choose is 1 Corinthians 13. The very mention of 1 Corinthians 13 makes them blush with shame because they know it has been delivered to them, the Corinthian church, and it has brought kind of shame and a rebuke. They have fallen short of these standards. The last thing they want is 1 Corinthians 13 at their wedding. Now, it is about love, and so secondarily, obviously, we could use it about marriage, where marriage is a sort of the show of love between a man and a woman. But here, as we look at it in the context of this letter, it's going to be about Christian maturity, true Christian maturity. Think about those original readers and all the issues that they've had through this letter, all the different difficulties that they've had, and now they're going to have this lesson on love. They've had a variety of problems, and this one particularly now we've come to is what we think about spiritual gifts, how we use the spiritual gifts, how I feel about myself having these spiritual gifts. They've been using them probably for an ego trip rather than the common goods. They've been probably sort of almost tearing apart the body rather than building it up with the spiritual gifts. Paul doesn't discourage spiritual gifts, remember. So if you look back just the verse just before chapter 13, Paul says, verse 31, chapter 12, verse 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire these gifts the Spirit will give you. These are good things. But, and now, I will show you the most excellent way. So here we come on to love. I've got 3 titles. They each have a subtitle, which is a song title, because I just couldn't get these song titles out of my head as I was preparing this. But please ignore it if it's in any way distracting. The main thing is, and I'll try not to break into song, the main thing is priority of love, that love is the most important thing. Here we are in the first few verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And you remember from the last couple of weeks, sort of tongues, the idea would be one of the gifts that the Corinthian church would prioritize. So here Paul is immediately catching them. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, which later on in chapter 14, we'll see the sort of tongues speaking straight to God. This is great, but have not love. The word gong there sort of is kind of bronze. It might be kind of a gong. It might be sort of this empty pot that actors used in the days before microphones to kind of sound forth their voices, a kind of echo chamber, if you will. But either way, clanging cymbals, resounding gongs, or these kind of bronze tube pots. One commentator paraphrased, "Even if you can speak with the heavenly language of angels and have no love, your high-toned speech has become like the empty echo of an actor's speech or the noise of frenzied pagan worship." And remember Corinth, they'd have had these noisy kind of parades this way and that way. What a challenge to them. What's a contemporary parallel? Well, maybe kind of that the big rock concert, kind of noise, but it's stirred up, but without love, it's not kind of useful for the church and for God's purposes. Maybe the football match where we all come chanting together or supporting our favourite team. I need to translate this to rugby, don't I, here? The rugby match where we're all supporting the team or something. That those arenas that seem worshipful but have not kind of God's love for each other, the common good, are useless. Verse 2. "Love is greater than prophecy and knowledge of God. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing." Prophecy, we will come on to very much in the next chapter. But at its very base, it must be speaking a word from God. And this idea, the second idea of understanding or wisdom, has this idea of sort of the inside information about the plans of God. Paul will use it again in chapter 15, verse 51, when he's been talking about the resurrection body. He says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, we will all be changed." He's talking about things that have been revealed by God, the inside knowledge, the great plans of God. These are good things, being able to speak from God and understand something of God's. They'll have a great Old Testament background, won't they? The prophets. In Daniel 2, it says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him." These are good things to know of God and to speak from God. Faith, faith to remove mountains. That's pretty good faith, isn't it? We reminded last week, this isn't saving faith, but the picture of kind of trusting for God's work in our lives, maybe his providence, maybe his guidance in a difficult situation, maybe his sort of love and care when we feel challenged on these things. Faith, even to remove mountains. If we have these things, but do not have love, I am nothing. Verse 3, love is greater than sacrifice. And what a great verse this is. If I give all I possess to the poor, brilliant. Surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. These are things that we would all say, what an amazing thing to do. Self-denial, giving away all our possessions, giving our things to the poor, that's a good thing. Giving away even our own body, that's a good thing. We think of our sort of heroes, Mother Teresa and other missionaries have gone out, given up so much comfort to reach and love the poor in Jesus' name. Think of martyrs, not only of church history, sort of up the road in Oxford, we know of various martyrs of church history, but even now we know Christians in certain countries dying because they believe in Jesus, ready to give up their own body, to not deny the faith, but say, "Yes, I stand with Jesus, even if it means my life." Amazing. And have not love, I gain nothing. Let me put all of this together. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, and if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship. Amazing. Come on in. Be one of us. Be our growth group leaders. Be up the front leading services. Give your testimony every week. It's amazing. But have not love, I'm a clanging cymbal. I am nothing. I gain nothing. We need this thing called love. It changes everything. Think of anyone with kind of zeal and gifts, a place of sort of lively worship. If there's no love, we're told again and again here, we're reminded it counts for nothing. Spiritual actions without love, meaningless. So there's our groundwork And at this stage, we need to know, well, what is this love thing that we totally need? And so we come on to a portrait of love, verses 4 to 7. It starts off with a bit of love is not. Looking through, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Love for Paul, often connected with Jesus, obviously. In Romans 5, he says, God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And here we have almost like a picture of Jesus. Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, he does not envy, he does not boast, he is not proud. You can go down all through the list. The challenge might be to put our own name in there. You might have done this before. Dave is patient. Dave is kind. Dave does not... I'll stop. It's a bit much. That's a great application, and we'll come back to that. But primarily, first of all, he's writing to these Corinthians. So remember, he is challenging them and all the things that we've had so far in this letter. And in the end, we'll get in chapter 16, he'll say, do all things in love. This is about ethics. He wants them to get this, to do, to act in love. He's describing all the things that the Corinthians are not. And the Corinthians start to squirm with shame. Are the Corinthians patient and kind? Well, back in chapter 11, we had the Lord's Supper, where they'd all dash up and eat before anyone else turned up. They weren't patient and kind. Were they jealous and envious? Well, in chapter 3, yes, they were. Did they boast? In chapters 1, 3, 4, and 5, well, yes, they did. Were they puffed up? Let's get this version's word. Proud, the proud word is puffed up. Chapters 4, 5, 8, verse 1 says, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Yes, they were proud and puffed up. Love is not, I need to get the right words, rude. It's the idea of sort of shameful behavior. And remember earlier in the chapters talking about these wrong relationships in the church and they're not doing anything about them. Shameful behavior, condoning these bad sexual relationships amongst them. Are they self-seeking? Well, yes, in chapter 10, they were definitely self-seeking. Not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Well, we see the church riven with divisions. Love does not delight in evil, rejoices with the truth. It was a challenge to them again and again. They were taking each other to the court, challenging each other, being divided on all sorts of different things. And then it finishes with these strong positives. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You might have heard it as love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And it's interesting, we end with sort of perseverance and we start with patience, this idea that love is whilst we wait for Jesus to come again. It's a description absolutely of now while we wait for our King to come. What a reprimand to the Corinthians. He wants them to be united, to be that body, to act it out in love. But as well as that great challenge to them, it is also a lovely portrait of what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It does not compare itself to other people in any way. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking or easily angered. It doesn't have itself at the center. It's self-sacrificial. We can see again and again, it's not a gooey feeling, something sentimental. It's almost disciplined. It's tough. It's difficult decisions made in each situation. It's other person-centered. It's real. It's not easily, so you can't pretend to love very easily or fall into it like a sort of dramatic emotional thing. It is a hallmark of Christian maturity. I guess one example might be is the sort of, if you can remember back to being a new Christian maybe, or being sort of very keen at university or at school or something, and you're very keen to kind of share the gospel and you'd maybe trip over into impetuous behavior. Surely you need to come to this meeting. Surely you need to hear this. Surely you're completely wrong. Why didn't you get it? Maybe that wasn't you. But were we patient? Is our love kind? Or are we easily angered? We'll come back to that at the end to apply that more to ourselves. Let's wrap up with this last paragraph. The perseverance of love. All you need is love, because love is going to continue. Love never fails. Love never fails. Remember, compared to the spiritual gifts, which will come and go, love never fails. It's at the beginning and the end of this paragraph, like as if it's the beginning and the end of what we are about as we follow Jesus. And the rest of this is about temporariness. Prophecies, they will cease. Tongues, they will be stilled. Knowledge, it'll pass away. Things will progress, but love will always be with us. We come to that last famous verse. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Well, why? Well, because love is a characteristic of God, first of all. Does God have faith? Well, no, because he's the ultimate object of faith. Who else or what else will he trust in? Does God hope? Well, what does God lack? Does God love? Yes. And he is love. These gifts are good, but they're signs of faith, signs of waiting for something more, signs of acting out our kind of now and not yet part of life. Imagine coming to heaven with a gift of prophecy, and you're there, and you kind of go, I can speak words from the Lord. Hear me. And they go, he's here. He's here. He's right with us. Or you come into heaven, you've got the gifts of tongues. He goes, look at this, son. I can speak like the angels speak. Well, I've got some mates. They're angels. I've been hanging out with them down the pub. I don't know what will happen in heaven. Doesn't make any sense, does it? They're not needed in the new creation. But love will continue. Love will continue. The church, we need to know, the church is not rebuked for these gifts. But they need to know the maturity to understand. So chapter 14, verse 20, on that same page, Paul will say, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regards to evil, be infants. In your thinking, be adults. Please grow up and understand. You need the maturity of understanding what love is before you can think about how or in what ways to use these gifts for the common good. So maybe a challenge for ourselves is, what are we praying for ourselves? Are we praying for kind of things that look like gifts and talents? Or are we praying for things that look like love, character? Or maybe particularly for us, what do we pray for our children? Good schools, good abilities at sport or in academia, secure job, or character, that they will love and know God's love and grow in all these facets of love. Knowledge of Christ and growth in love. The verse 11, kind of the picture of the child. Sometimes the sort of faith like a child is a great thing because it's kind of accepting God. But here it's very much more leaving behind childish ways and moving on to maturity, the growth in understanding and character like love. Again, verse 12, we have another version of that. We see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror. And Corinth apparently at the time had quite an industry in mirrors, sort of brass thing. It would have been quite a murky thing, but they'd have known what we're talking about. But then we shall see face to face. So these things are temporary, and we move on, but we stay in love. Love is a characteristic of God now and always. And love is a quality that endures to heaven. We've already touched on that. Not only God, but will we have faith in heaven? Well, no, he'll be there. He'll be there with us. Will we have hope in heaven? No, because it will all be fulfilled. All our tears will be wiped away. All those promises will be fulfilled. Will we love? Yes. Because we will be with our God, and he is love. So overall, 1 Corinthians 13, love. Possibly love lifts us up where we belong. Because love gives meaning. From those first few verses, do you remember kind of doing the good things are only given meaning when you have love? So let's think about what we're doing as a church or in groups. The church projects, I guess the big one is kind of the connect and the building thing, or other things that we're involved in. Our growth groups, our sort of serving each other, our outreach, our meeting on a Sunday. meaningless without love? Are we doing this because we love people and because we love God, in church or outside? And love requires and brings formation of character, that portrait of love in verses 4 to 7. They don't just appear, these things. They're learned attributes. And I guess we need community. It's difficult to learn how to be patient all on your own. But other people give you opportunities to be patient. I was reminded in my own life just this morning, a particular thing where I speak too quickly. And I need a couple more moments to process because I want to be kind. What is it for you particularly challenges you that you need to learn more, to be strengthened more, to have God's help, to grow more in that an aspect of that love? What is our reputation as a community? It's St. Mary's Church family or the 4 p.m. congregation. We do maybe good, sort of, we prioritize good biblical teaching. Is that our reputation? Maybe we kind of put on good welcome. It's a nice, friendly place. But is our reputation to be loving? Actually, again, I'm encouraged by us as we meet together, as we meet in small groups, as we pick each other up, the various things I've heard about as practical help and news sharing. But what a great reputation to have. Go to 4 p.m. at St. Mary's. Go to St. Mary's Church family because they are loving, because they show God's love. These days for us, maybe love is spelt T-I-M-E, time, in our culture, spending time with people. It's quite difficult to apply specifically this one because there's so many facets and you could spend a sermon on each one of these, and we won't do that quite today, but we'll have a time for each of us to spend quietly thinking about this passage. If you're not a Christian today, this picture of love shows you Jesus. It shows you our God that we believe in. So if you like this picture of love, if it chimes with you, come and find out more. Come and find out more because God is love. Trinity God, he is love. For those of us who do believe in Jesus, we're reminded that we have a God of love. He has bought us in his love by Jesus' blood. And we will be forever with him in love. So while we wait for that, we aim at this ideal of love in our lives. So I'm guessing, I've spent ages in this passage this week, and I've been challenged in all sorts of ways. I urge you to pick maybe one, your particular one, but it'll be different for each of us. That's what's one of the things that's so great about this passage. That's another way of looking at kind of some of the titles that come from this passage. So we're going to have a time of confession, of just thinking about this passage of love, and then saying sorry and asking God's help. I'm going to break it up. When we get to that bit, I'll break it up. So I'll say, when I say, Father, in your mercy, if you want to join in, please join in with forgive us and help us to love. Forgive us and help us to love. First of all, I'll read the passage, and then I'll go straight into a confessional prayer. And if you want to join in with those, when I say, Father, in your mercy, please respond, forgive us and help us to love. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails.